B-Pod Studios.
It's time now for the Bring the Heat line.
It's hot, damn hot.
I don't want a hot take.
Pump your ass.
Bring the Heat is brought to you by American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Is your AC revved up and ready for summer? Visit AmericanStandardAir.com to find an experienced heating and air conditioning dealer near you.
Okay.
To leave a message for Anthony and Jason, call 610-771-9751.
I want to see people rip their heart out of their chest.
Now, Bring the Heat.
Let's go.
All right, Bring the Heat. No Anthony or Jason today. Anthony off the rest of the week. Jason will be back tomorrow. So it's Jamie Lynch and myself, Andrew Salchunas.
I just saw a tweet here. I know it's not Bring the Heat.
Go ahead.
How long until the Charlie chants start at Citizens Bank Park?
Well, it'll happen today.
If he's there. I don't know if he was on the road or what.
Well, why wouldn't he be there?
He's been doing a lot of scouting.
Yeah, I know. He's got to be there.
I would think he is, but it's also supposed to torrentially downpour tonight.
Let me say this. There's no way they woke up this morning, whether it was Klentak,
McPhail. He probably knew yesterday, yeah.
There's no way they went, oh, you know what? We're going to fire John Manning.
He should be there.
No, they probably gave him the Giants series. They lost that game 4. They knew they had an off day, so they were probably like, yo, Charlie, we're going to bring you in. We're going to fire John. We'll let John know on Tuesday.
Yeah.
All right.
But it'll be interesting because those chants will happen.
Yes, they will happen. All right, let's get to Bring the Heat.
Wow, the clouds just parted. The sun came out, and I look up, I see Charlie Manuel's oval face. Wow! Was not expecting this. Do you believe in miracles?
Yeah, I wasn't expecting this at all. Like, you...
Yes!
So,
I was stunned.
When the news broke, in case you're just joining us, you and I were talking Eagles at the time, because it was right after Doug Peterson spoke. The Doug Peterson press conference was back at 11:10 today, and we were trying to, you know, BS our way until Carson was ready. And I'm saying something, I look up at you, and your eyes were just wide open. I'm like, what?
I was like, I see a Todd Zalecki tweet that just blew me away.
And I'm like, okay, what? And I type in Todd Zalecki as you're reading the tweet.
And then I saw your eyes go, whoa.
I'm like, oh my God, they did something. I did not think with 44 games left they would make a change. I really didn't.
I didn't either. I thought because of the way Gabe talked about Chris Young and John Mailey, he was going to go down with their ships.
Yeah, and especially that the fact that they are still just 2 games out of the wild card. You see coaching changes happen with 2 weeks left in the season when they're done, and they give the guy the interim manager.
No, this is a move that they believe might have a real impact here in the final 44 games.
Will it have much of an impact? We'll see. I mean, it's just a hitting coach, but maybe Charlie changed the way they... I read you the numbers. Bryce Harper is a 450 hitter on first pitch.
If he changes one simple thing, and that's being aggressive early in counts, then it worked, in my opinion.
We'll see what happens. What's next?
And another thing, Gable, is just you treat your lineup card like it's a beaker. This is not a f***ing IPS experiment. Do J.O. want to be Tony Robbins?
Yeah, he's not a big Gabe Kapler fan, as you can imagine. He's been calling all season long. Calls him Gabe-alicious. Yeah, it's awesome. He calls him Gabe-alicious. He's not a big Gabe Kapler fan. The lineup card thing, listen, he put Bryce Harper in the leadoff spot, and I know nobody wants to see that, but whatever. You know, it actually worked for one game.
Yeah, it did.
They did it against the Marlins earlier in the year, and Bryce Harper played well in the leadoff spot.
You haven't had a leadoff hitter since Andrew McCutchen went down.
No, you really haven't.
Bryce Harper is the best suited guy to be your leadoff hitter. And I know that sucks because he should be one of your power guys, but he's not really
giving. Does Charlie think he's a leadoff hitter?
It'll be real interesting to see because he played his best ball last year in the second half of the season with the Nationals in the leadoff spot. He saved his season because he started off last year poorly. They put him in the leadoff spot and he became great.
You know who I want to see bat earlier in the lineup, to be honest? I want to see Real Muto bat second.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with anything.
Whatever works.
It's been so bad that I'm okay with whatever.
But I wouldn't mind seeing... I'm okay with that.
JT in the two-hole.
We'll get to the next matches. I want to play...
Because he's fast enough that he can hit there.
Well, he's the fastest catcher in baseball.
I mean, he doesn't look like a catcher when he's running.
No. He is statistically proven the fastest catcher in
baseball.
That's
fine with me. He can put the ball in the opposite field. He can hit behind runners.
I'm going to try to see what his numbers are when there's runners in scoring position versus nobody on.
He's one of your best bats.
None on, he's hitting 270. All right? bases loaded. We've seen him struggle. 222. Runners on. 273. All right. Well, the leadoff guy gets on.
Yeah, Bryce gets on with his on base of what? Like 360-something?
Yeah. And JT bats second.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Now you have no power once you get to 4, 5, 6, but we've been dealing with that all season.
What, you keep Reese at 3? Put Segura at 4?
No, Segura bats 3. Hoskins bats 4.
Kingery 5?
Sure. Unless when Bruce comes back.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Maybe right, we bat Vince Velasquez 5th.
He had a hit. What's next?
You know, we can all sit here and do the same old song and dance, talk about the 3 primary suspects that have led the Phillies to this absolute disaster of a season. Or we could all just really go to the main cause and the main root of the problem at the current moment in time, and that is the individual in Mr. Middleton himself, who refuses to do anything or even capture the fact that
Well, I do think John Middleton had something to do with this decision. Now, that obviously, that call from Graff comes
so
in before the decision was made.
Yeah.
I know Anthony said he thinks McPhail may have been a part of it.
I mean, I'm sure it was on their mind. How could it not be? You know what I mean?
Of course.
And Gabe coming out saying, like, no, they're doing a great job. I'm going to stick with them. He's protecting his guys. That had to kind of incense McPhail and Klentak a little bit.
I really have no thought on my mind that Klentak had nothing to do with this. I'm sure Klentak tried saying no.
You think?
Klentak brought him in.
Yeah.
One of his hitting coaches. I mean, it's not just John Maley's approach. It's an organizational approach.
Oh, yeah. This is bigger than John Maley. This is just a figurehead right now for their bigger problems.
And Matt Klentak, boy genius, thinks he knows everything about baseball, thinks he can just bring in guys and listen to the way he wants things done. Charlie Manuel is not going to listen to Matt Klentak. He will laugh at Matt Klentak.
Yeah. I mean, Anthony told you, Charlie and Rube used to battle. Charlie's not one to be told what to do. Like, he believes in what he believes.
Especially from Matt Klentak.
Yeah.
Who's a puppy in this role of baseball.
He's younger than me. I think he's 36.
How do you feel about that?
Weird.
What's next?
I can't wait for the NBA. The NBA is going to be crazy. With all the players changing teams, it's going to be some epic, epic battles cup this season. And I believe that our Philadelphia 76ers are going to be right in the freaking mix. They got the team that I think that they put together is going to make a run in the conference that they're in. I think that the Sixers will win the division outright. I'm saying it right now that the Sixers with Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, and Al Horton and Josh Richardson are going to win the freaking division.
Big Al Horton fan.
I love Al Horton.
Tim Hortons.
He's one of the most underrated players in the NBA. I love
that man who leaves our messages.
A lot of passion.
He's great. Al Horton.
Did you hear the stat I read earlier today? And it was from an ESPN article about Josh Richardson. And it has to do with their defensive rating. And it's unbelievable. So basically the stat is this. With a minimum of 700 shots defended against last year, according to Second Spectrum Research, opposing players shot 41.6% when Richardson was the closest defender. That tied him for the 5th best among 100 players to defend at least those 700 shots. Do you want to know who the remaining top 5 of those players were?
I didn't read this. Tell me who, Jamie.
Anthony Davis. Okay, yeah, he plays out west now. Joel Embiid, Al Horford, and Ben Simmons.
Oh, so 4 of your starting 5.
The defense for this Sixers team should be one of the best in basketball. I expect them to be a top 3 defensive team on top of their offensive capabilities. That's pretty exciting.
This is going to be an incredible season. We were going to react to some of the schedule, at least I was, because it happened at 3 o'clock.
Charlie kind
of
trumped that.
Yeah, but 23 national televised games. That's awesome.
It's actually 36 if you include the NBA TV games.
Okay, so
it's
36
fifth most in the NBA.
That.
So it's Clippers, Lakers, Rockets, and Warriors are the only teams ahead of them. And not by much. The Sixers are right there.
And you got the Christmas Day game. You have New Year's Eve, which is cool.
Yeah.
You have 9. Getting ready for the night.
I think it's 9 TNT games, which are my favorite ones.
Yes, they are.
Because I love Shaq, Kenny, and Charles,
and
Ernie.
There's no more... the player-only broadcast.
Yeah,
that's done.
Thank the Lord.
Because they had a lot of those last year because they were on TNT again a lot last season. But that's awesome. And the Adrian Wojnarowski news, or that he was reporting that the games are going to start 30 minutes earlier.
Good.
National televised game.
It's ridiculous.
So you're not going to be up till midnight.
8:30 at night. Like, what the hell?
In your, Eastern time.
Yeah. Like, what are we doing?
Like, the Sixers aren't playing until 8:30.
Cool.
And if you go down, You're not getting home till 1 because that traffic leaving the center is awful.
I don't know many people my age that stay up past like 10:30 anymore.
Wow. That's a shame.
Wait till you get washed, Andrew. You'll learn all about it.
I'm pretty much washed.
Well, you've always been washed. You were just young and washed.
That was Bring the Heat, brought to you by American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Is your AC revved up and ready for summer? Visit AmericanStandardAir.com to find an experienced heating and air conditioning dealer near you. The number to leave a message would be 610-771-9754.
Matt Contact's actually 39. Sorry, so he's 2 years older than me. Okay. So that makes me feel a little
better.
So
you still have a shot at being a GM. By the way, a tweet from Tim McManus, who joins Mike Masinelli every day at 4:10 for his training camp report. Brandon Brooks has a checkup on his Achilles tomorrow. If it goes well, he'll be cleared for team drills.
Wow, that's great news.
How his leg responds to added workload will help decide whether he's ready for opener.
Trey had dinner with him last night, actually, and said
he was good,
said he feels great. He's been going kind of like one-on-one drills with some teammates just to kind of get that push.
Yeah, I saw some video of him doing it yesterday.
The thing with injuries, it's as much mental as it is physical. So once he starts trusting in that heel, he'll be right back to playing conditions. I fully expect he's going to be great again this year. Lane Johnson's knees, though, on the other hand, kind of worry me a little bit.
Yeah.
It's 2 years in a row now.
And it's week to week. And Darren Sproles was day to day and missed 8 games last year, 10 games last year, something like that. But I think maybe it's a little different. I think Lane Johnson's ready for week one. At least
do I. But it's concerning to me that I saw, two knee injuries back-to-back, short amount of time.
It's and as Tyler Zuli says in my ear, Matt Collins has been day-to-day for a year and a half.
Oh, Matt Collins is back to being alive?
Yes, he's back to being alive.
Okay. He apparently took first-team reps this week.
All right. Well, that's a good sign.
Maybe that means they're giving him first-team reps Thursday night to be like, all right, dude, you've missed so much. Show us what you got.
They've already cut a receiver this year, so.
Yeah. I mean, he's got to worry about a roster spot. You can't make the club in the tub.
Who said that?
I don't know. That's one of those sayings.
Well, that's a good one.
Yeah.
All right, speaking of, I brought up Tim McManus going to be on with Mike today at 4:10. Speaking of Mike Masinelli.
Love Tim McManus.
Today at 3
LaSalle
o'clock.
LaSalle High School's finest.
Today at 3 o'clock. Can I speak here?
No.
Today at 3 o'clock, we will have another special FanFest announcement.
Oh, is this the next guest?
Yeah, it'll be the next guest, so FanFest.
I can't wait to find out who it is.
It's Saturday, August 24th, obviously, at Xfinity Live from 1 to 5. It's exclusively presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. Tickets are free, but you have to win a ticket to get in. We all know that Allen Iverson will be there. He's courtesy of Time After Time, watches Time After Time, keeps Philly ticking. We found out that Tobias Harris will be there. He is courtesy of Metro by T-Mobile. Switch to Metro by T-Mobile now and take advantage of the best deal in wireless only at Metro. And today at 3 o'clock, we will find out yet another special guest. I think I know who it is, but
I've heard whispers, and if it's true,
that's pretty awesome.
It's pretty awesome.
So at 3 o'clock, we'll find out who the next guest will be at FanFest.
Iverson and Tobias are already awesome enough, and we might add somebody equally as good
to that pedigree. FanFest is going to be incredible. And also at 3 o'clock, it's another online ticket raid. So Mike will announce the 3 o'clock special guest or the special guest at 3 that will be at FanFest. And there will also be another online ticket raid for your chance to get into what will be, really, the biggest party of the summer.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time. I can't wait. And it's approaching pretty quickly here.
Yeah, we're what, 11 days away?
I can't believe it. One of my credit card bills is due August 12th. I looked down at the calendar this morning, which I haven't paid yet. I'm a day late. I went, oh my God, it's the 13th already? When the hell did that happen?
Yeah, we're almost at FanFest. We're almost at football time, and football season's going to be fun for you and I. We'll talk about that another time.
Sixers don't start until October 23rd.
That's all right. You got Eagles, and you got Phillies making a push for the playoffs with their new hitting coach.
Yeah, with Uncle Charlie.
I got a tweet from Justin Goodhart that I want you to react to. He goes, and this is kind of what I brought up, and I was like, is this going to help that much? We'll find out. We can't pinpoint that right now. We have to see if
I think it will
changes.
Have an impact.
Yes.
We'll see. Yeah. Whether it's drastic or not, I can't say, but I do think he's going to try and change some things.
So he tweets, this move to Charlie can't help at this point. This season, long approach to hitting won't be solved with less than 50 games to go. It's 44 exactly. Next season, maybe then, but we can't just expect Charlie to fix it all. On the bright side, maybe fans will tune in to see if it works. Fans are still watching. Like
I watch every night, as frustrating as it is.
Those numbers haven't gone down. We're doing it to ourselves.
I hate myself sometimes for putting myself through it, but I still watch every single night. You can still recognize something sucks and still follow it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. That doesn't mean I'm not going to watch every single game for the remainder of the year. Of those 44 games, I'll probably watch 42 or 43 of them.
And there's a little extra value to your watching now. There is higher interest level to Justin's point.
I want to see the approach these guys take now,
and we'll see if it changes. But I wonder, and the number to get in, we got 40 minutes left. Mike Missanelli coming your way today at 2 o'clock. The number to get in, 610-632-0975. Since the news broke, it's been all positive. It's been celebration. It's been joy, because a lot of people wanted to get rid of John Mailey. Right? I don't think there was anybody that said, no, I want to keep John Mailey. I think John Mailey was public enemy number one. So since the move happened, you're celebrating two reasons. You got rid of the hitting coach in John Mailey, who was pretty much hated throughout Philadelphia. And you also bring back Charlie Manuel back, yeah, who you know knows hitting.
Yes.
He knows hitting and hopefully helps some of these guys out. We had Anthony on who says that Charlie and Bryce Harper have a very good relationship. So that should only help even more. But we haven't really had much of a negative response to the one that Justin just said, saying, hey, listen, it's great and all, but there's only 44 games left.
Yeah.
Is it really going to change?
Yeah, it could.
But I wonder how many other Phillies fans are feeling that way. Like, is it real?
Do you think there's going to be, I don't even know what our lineup is anymore. I don't even know what's ideal.
Yeah.
Do you think Charlie's going to have an impact on the actual just lineup?
I think he'll talk to Gabe. Gabe has final say, but I think he'll talk to him about it.
And I hope Gabe is, and I think he will be.
He should be.
Because he's emotionally intelligent.
Let's open it up in chat.
Yeah. I think he's got to be at this point. He's in desperation mode. His back is against the wall. Like, he understands what's going on.
Yeah.
He listens. He reads. I'm sure he's heard us before. Like, don't let him fool you. He's very aware of
and
what's going on.
He knows that Charlie Manuel is a World Series manager.
Yeah, and
World
he knows how Charlie is beloved in this town. So I'm curious to see if Charlie actually wants to change his lineup, because to be frank, I don't even know what the lineup is. I don't know what's ideal anymore. I don't care. Whatever works, get it done. If it's Bryce Harper being the leadoff man, then make him the leadoff man.
610-632-0975. Jim in Lansdale. Jim, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Jim.
I just want to agree with you guys on the Charlie Manuel situation, but here's the thing, like, even if he does come in and he does change in Hoskins and Harper and the guys start hitting, like, is it enough with this pitching staff, do you think?
Probably not. But I mean, Jim, the more important thing here is the future. And clearly something wasn't working here with the approach, and I do think it's bigger than John Mailey. I think he's a sacrificial lamb. But you have Scott Kingery. You have Rhys Hoskins, who's regressed. You have Bryce Harper, who, guess what, is here for another 12 years and having kind of a career low year. You have to get these guys right. And the way they're doing it this year, the way they were doing it, it wasn't working. And you need to get those guys' heads right. You need to get their approach right. You need to do a lot. And even if it doesn't work for this year, something had to be done, and maybe this can help them in the future.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. And I got an Eagles point about the O-line.
Yeah.
I was listening to the, Trey and Bob Cooney this morning, and they were both saying that, you know, Brooks, obviously, he's 50-50 with the Achilles, but, like, Johnson and Peters, I mean, they've been, last year, they were both in and out, and, you know, Peters, with him being old, is going to be the same thing. So what do you think, like, if they're one injury away from, like, being a disaster up there?
I think with Dillard, at least you have now somebody that can come in when Peters inevitably goes out. Lane, I think, still has 6-7 years of prime football ahead of him. I just have a little concern with his knee. Brooks, I think, will be all right. But, you know, I don't think Maialata's ready for game action yet. So, yeah, if Lane or Brooks goes down, it's probably going to be a little sketchy. But you can say that pretty much about every team in the league.
That's true. Yeah, you're right. Thanks, guys.
All right, appreciate the call, Jim.
Thanks, Jim.
Here's one thing, and this is just, don't take this too far.
Is this a hot take?
No,
what are you doing, Andrew?
I'm not doing a hot take. I'm just doing averages, right? So the Phillies, on average, throughout the entire season, and this is where it's ridiculous, but through the entire season, they average 4.7 runs per game.
Okay.
All right? Throughout the entire season, the pitchers have allowed 4.6 runs. So it's right there.
So that takes you to two games above 500.
So maybe,
basically,
that run scored per game goes up a little bit. All right? By one run. And now you're winning games.
Hey, who knows? If you get up to 4.9, maybe you can get a wild card spot. Yeah,
maybe.
I don't know, but they're in full.
Now, of course, like, there's games where you lose 16-2, so that changes things. And there's games where you win 10-1, and you're not always losing games by 14. You're not always winning games by 9 runs. Like,
Our boy Angry Al just tweets in. He says, yeah, you're right about this being a move for next year. Charlie's coming back as the manager. Kick rocks, Gabe.
Love that. I love kick rocks.
He wouldn't be the first guy to come back as a former manager coming back. I saw Matt Gelb tweeting about it. He listed all, at least four guys that have returned as manager from being a previous manager of that team.
Yeah.
And Bowa was one of them.
Yes, he was.
And the Phillies have set that precedent before.
I've already seen a lot of bringing Bowa two tweets. And it's
no.
I love Larry.
I love Larry.
Come on.
Yeah, that ship has sailed. You're not bringing him back for a third time to be manager.
Hey, come on. Please.
Let's give Ryan Sandberg another chance.
Somebody tweeted at us saying this is like a Flyers move. No, it's not.
No.
But if they bring in Bowa again,
then it's a Flyers
then
move.
It's a Flyers move. All right, two segments left. The number to get in, 610-632-0975. He's Jamie Lynch. I'm Andrew Salchunas. We're filling in for the midday show, Anthony and Jason. Anthony off the rest of the week. Jason will be back tomorrow right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Gargano and Mertidis Middays. ...97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Midday Show. He's Jamie Lynch, I'm Andrew Salchunas. Filling in for Anthony and Jason, 1 o'clock hour, brought to you by the Rothenberg Law Firm. Philly proud, Philly strong for over 49 years. To find out more, visit injurylawyer.com. A little bit of football news to step away from the, Philly stuff. It's kind of cool. So, the Donald, your boy, President Donald Trump, back in May said he would allow military academy athletes to get waivers to join pro sports upon team graduation.
Who was the Navy quarterback two years ago that got drafted? Good move.
So, yeah, he's allowing, instead of having to do a couple years of service first. Mm-hmm. So, the Eagles are linked to a player, and I believe it's pronounced Toth, his last name. But he's an offensive lineman, Brett Toth. And he is the first active military service person who, I'm trying to read this correctly, he played in the Senior Bowl. And he's the first one to ever do it.
Really?
And the Eagles, he's trying to wait to see whether or not he's approved. And if he is approved, then the Eagles look to be signing him.
And what position again?
Offensive line. And Jeff Stoutland, who's one of the best offensive line coaches in the league, thinks the world of this kid.
And tackle, guard, center, doesn't say?
Oh, it just says offensive lineman.
Okay.
But I think he played tackle in college. Trying to read this as we go along. I'll give you some more information. But yeah, it looks like he's going to get signed by the Eagles.
Well, I wonder if that means, you know, the big V rumor is swirling.
Exactly.
The big V trade rumor is swirling because he's a swing tackle that now can possibly play some guard for you. So he's very versatile. And look, he started in a Super Bowl. You know, he's a solid piece if you're in desperate need of offensive line help.
Offensive tackle, by the way. And he's the first player from West Point to play in the Senior Bowl.
Very cool.
And it said teams immediately took notice of his abilities. And Jeff Stoutland, who is your offensive line coach, who's very good at his job.
So it says a signing is looming?
Yeah, it says Toth has drawn interest from multiple NFL teams in addition to the Eagles. But it seems like the Eagles are the team that it would happen with. Seeking a waiver from senior Army leadership that would allow him to play for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Huh. Cool.
And that's from Adam Schefter.
I mean, the last guy they got with military background was Alejandro Villanueva they let go of too early, and he became a very good player.
Chip.
Sorry.
Because it didn't fit.
And he went to Pittsburgh and became a very good player. Chip. I hate when his name even comes up.
Ugh. So Colin Berger tweets in, going back to the Phillies conversation. By the way, you're the team batting average with runners in scoring position, 255, which is 19th in all of baseball.
Oh, I actually expected worse.
It's still bottom half. But Colin Berger tweets in an interesting question.
Yeah, I saw that.
Of the 44 games left, how many wins for the Phillies?
I'd love to. So the options are less than 20, 20 to 24, 24 plus. I mean, I think it's 20 to 24, honestly.
So they play 500 ball the rest of the way?
Kind
of. Is that
enough? Probably not. I still don't. Keenan Reynolds was the quarterback from Navy. So Jeffrey Eckert just tweeted in. No, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. And to do that, I mean, you're probably going to have to get to at least, 87, 88 wins to really have that shot?
It could probably be even a little less this year.
85, 86.
That just tells you how stupid the second wild card spot is.
Well, and it tells you
can play almost 500 ball and make the playoffs.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's not a good like.
And you
message
could have one really good pitcher like Aaron Nola and win that game,
and then get smoked by the Dodgers.
Yeah,
I still want that to happen. Do I think it's going to happen? Probably not.
But think about it. So you're the Nationals, right? You have Patrick Corbin, Max Scherzer, Steven Strasburg. You can have one bad hitting day, and Aaron Nola does, you know, he shuts you out.
Aaron Nola would have to pitch on 3 days rest in the entire series.
The Phillies score 2-3 runs, right? And they win 3-2. And the Phillies, who played basically 500 baseball, move on to the playoffs. And the Nationals, who have all those pitchers, lose that one-game playoff. They don't get to move on. And the Phillies do not fare well against the Dodgers as well as the Nationals could.
Nobody really fares well.
Yeah, but they have that pitching staff,
yeah,
at least.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you get to their bullpen, maybe you got a shot. Kenley Jansen's not what, you know, he once was. Yeah. And who knows? Clayton Kershaw.
Oh, man, I do love the one-game playoff.
It's exciting. But when you have 500 clubs potentially making the playoffs, it's not exactly a great thing.
Now, to be fair, there have been in recent years like teams that had 90, both had 90 wins going into that one game playoff. This year's a little different. And right now the St. Louis Cardinals have that second spot and they're just 6 games above 500, and the St. Louis Cardinals don't scare me.
No, not at all.
They're just playing the best out of this mediocre crop. Well, the Mets are, but the Mets are still 2 games out. They're still one game out. They're still making their climb.
Yeah.
It could really be Braves, Nationals, Mets that
My gut says you're going to finish fourth in your own division. And yeah, that's not good enough.
No, it's not. And that's why changes should still be made.
And I'm curious what that Jim Salisbury tweet was earlier, that other changes still being explored.
Yeah, still being discussed was what Jim Salisbury said.
I guess that's probably just talking about Chris Young, right? But I have a hard time even blaming him.
Yeah, I mean, that would make sense. He tweeted at 11:31.
I don't think Jim means Gabe.
No, I doubt it. But he says more changes to staff still being discussed.
I mean, what else would you change? It's not like you're changing the bullpen, coach.
No, I doubt it. I mean, maybe. I mean,
it's
I
pretty
know.
Much, I think he means Chris
Young. At this point, you keep those guys until the end of the season and just move on.
Yeah.
Let's get some more reaction. Carl in Coopersburg. Carl, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Hey, Carl.
When I heard the news, I mean, I might be nostalgic here or whatever, but when I heard the news, my initial thought was, Charlie's riding is the hitting coach for the rest of the year. They're moving on from Gabe. Charlie's going to take over as manager. And maybe it's just me being a homer, but if that were to happen, what would you guys think about Jim Thome coming in as the hitting coach moving forward?
Sure. I'm all for it. I mean, I think Jim was a great hitter. Him and Charlie are like father and son. So, I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to it.
I mean, he credits Charlie as the sole reason that he pretty much got into the Hall of Fame. And, I mean, if you think about it, he's one of the best hitters in the past 20 years to come through here.
Yeah, absolutely, without a doubt. I can't find a reason I would dislike it. I'll tell you that.
What do you think about them possibly doing changes to, like, the bench coach just to try to, you know, change stuff up there with the culture?
Nah, I mean, yeah. At this point now I appreciate the call, Carl. At this point,
grasping for straws.
How about they should fire the head grounds crew member?
I think Maley was the one that just made sense. Somebody had to be the sacrificial lamb here. When we read the stats earlier, they're near the bottom of the league in almost every offensive category since the All-Star break.
Yeah.
It just made sense. Yeah. He's got to go.
The bench coach isn't going to do it. The bullpen coach isn't going to do it.
Jim Thome was a great hitter, man. I just pulled up his stat sheet.
600-plus home runs.
Well, aside from the home runs, I mean, he had 300 two seasons. Actually, more than that, three seasons. He had over 300.
Howard had a couple years where he hit above 300.
Oh, yeah. Jim Thome, 1 year, 52 home runs, .304 average.
And it makes you think, wait, why are these guys that are hitting 50 home runs hitting 220.
Jim Tomey's OPS that year, he hit .304 with 52 home runs. 1.122.
That's incredible. Well, that's why he's in the Hall of Fame.
He had, let me see here, 5 seasons with a greater than 1,000 OPS.
That's why he's in the Hall of Fame, man.
That's unbelievable.
It really is.
So if Charlie wants him to be the hitting coach, didn't he just sign with the White Sox as the hitting coach, or the Indians, was it? I thought he came back this year.
Who, Jim Thome?
Am I crazy?
He coached in that the Futures game.
Oh, that's what it was. He was Charlie's bench coach in the Futures game.
He does stuff for the MLB Network.
Right, okay.
All right, one segment left. The number to get in, 610-632-0975. Mike Bissonelli coming your way at 2 o'clock. Again, I want to remind you, at 3 o'clock today, there will be an online ticket raid plus another big announcement at FanFest. It'll be another big guest. We already know AI and Tobias Harris. There will be a third special guest announced today at 3 o'clock, so make sure you listen then. He's Jamie Lynch. I'm Andrew Salchunas, filling in for the Midday Show right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Gargano and Mertitus Middays. '97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, final segment. Mike Bissonelli coming your way at 2 o'clock. It's been a lot of fun, Mr. Lynch. Thank you for staying another 4 hours because you already did The Fanatic at 5.
I love doing 9 hours of radio.
Hey, welcome to my life. You did The Fanatic at 5 today. You did the morning show, and you stuck around with me today, and I appreciate your service.
And we got some breaking news in the middle of the show.
Charlie Manuel, the new hitting coach of your Philadelphia Phillies.
Stunned me.
It's awesome. Carson Wentz spoke earlier today. We weren't able to get to it because of the Charlie Manuel news.
Isn't it great? There's not a lot going on, but there's a lot going on. And, oh, yeah, football's about to start.
Oh, I can't wait. September 8th, man. It's going to be a fun day.
Yeah, it is.
Especially after the game.
Yep. Yeah, it is.
So Brandon Lee Gowton was at Carson Wentz's press conference, and he said he was asked if there was any downside to not playing in any preseason games, and Carson Wentz said the following: I don't think so. I feel good either way, whatever coach feels is best. I'll be ready to come week one, whether I get reps multiple times in the preseason or none at all. Whatever coaches decides, I'm extremely confident in this offense and myself, and I think I like where we are at. Your thoughts?
He's probably right, you know, in that it's not going to make or break him. A lot of guys down there have said he's kind of having an inconsistent camp.
Yeah, so maybe some playing time would be nice.
It would be, but you don't have a backup quarterback, so I can't take that risk.
I don't get the, I don't need preseason.
I don't really either, but.
Like Carson, yeah, I think you do need preseason.
Yeah, you probably do. I mean, when Tom Brady at age 41, 42 is still playing the third week of preseason, and he's been to 9 Super Bowls, I would say that's a pretty good model to follow, i.e. the greatest quarterback and greatest coach of all time. And like, I'm okay with the blueprint from the Patriots. Mix in some cheating, too. I don't care.
Yes. I said this to you last Saturday. A guy like Joel Embiid, I don't think needs a preseason game, whereas Carson Wentz, I think, does. Especially after two season-ending injuries.
I mean, with Joel Embiid, he doesn't need it per se, but there is a difference between game conditioning and shape than just off-season conditioning. Like Ezekiel Elliott's in Cabo working out. Do you think he's going to come in? Because he will play this year. Neither of them can afford for him not to play.
Right.
Do you think he's going to come in week one in game shape?
Oh, wow. You know what? We never even got into the Dak stuff.
Well, Charlie kind of hijacked the show. No, Zeke Elliott won't be in peak game shape because there's only one way to get there, and that's
wearing pads.
Wearing pads, getting hit, and all of that stuff. So, you know, like,
you gotta get your body calloused, you know?
Joel Embiid doesn't need a preseason, but you've seen him when he returns from injury. He's not in peak game
shape. I'm talking about the two preseason games they play. You know what I mean?
I mean, like, it's only like a quarter, or like a series or two anyway. That's not going to get you in game shape.
Yeah, but Joel Embiid's not avoiding tackles. Like, I want Carson Wentz to avoid a few hits.
Isn't just missing the games. He's missing all of camp.
Yeah.
Like, that's a lot of calluses you build up. And that's, you know, you work through stuff.
That's going to be such an interesting situation, the Zeke and Dak thing.
Because the Cowboys situation is, look, they have a lot of good young players on that team.
Right.
But when you don't look ahead with your salary cap in the salary cap era, like the way Howie does. Like, if you look at Carson's contract coming up, there's 2 years where it takes a dip back down from, like, the 34, 36 to 30. And I would guarantee you, I don't know this for a fact, but that year, the year it takes dips, I bet you Howie did that so that there's more room because other guys are going to be coming
up. So they can re-up on some other free
agents. Exactly. Yeah. So Howie's very good at looking 3, 4, even 5 years into the future. I don't think the Joneses have gotten that yet.
No.
Because you have to pay Dak. You're stuck.
Starting quarterback.
I mean, he's a good quarterback. You kind of have to pay him. What else are you going to do?
And he's asking for $40 million. But if you do that, then you can't pay Amari Cooper as much money.
But you have to pay Amari Cooper because you gave up 2 first-round picks for him.
And
you need Zeke. And then you got Byron Jones coming up.
Yep.
You're going to have Leighton Vander Esch coming up. Jalen Smith thinks he's deserving of top linebacker money. Like, It's a salary cap mess down there.
And then Jarrah has already said we don't need a top running back to win a Super Bowl.
But Cowboys fans will tell you it's fine. Emmitt Smith held out in 1992. And he
Cowboys fans are already saying trade him.
He was the Super Bowl MVP that year, so it doesn't matter.
All right,
well, it's salary cap hell.
Real quick, let's go to Vic in Abington. Vic, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hello.
Hey, Vic.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
Hey, I want to talk about good old Phillies. Actually, you know, when you look at this team, comparing to the 2008 team, who could start on the 2008 team? I don't think there's anybody except maybe Real Muto. And that includes Harper, because he compare Harper.
I mean, Jason Worth was a hell of a player.
Yeah.
I mean, center field, no. Left field, maybe Burrow, if McCutcheon was still playing.
If you want to go pitchers, well, Aaron Nola is the number two on that staff. Maybe even the number one.
Segura is not going to override Jimmy. Pedro Feliz, old Pete Happy, and Michael.
Franco's not even in the majors anymore.
Yeah, second base, Cesar, nope. First base, nope. So, yeah, you're right. Probably only JT. And maybe you could make the case for McCutcheon.
Well, McCutcheon's sort of out of the picture.
Yeah, if he was healthy, I'm saying.
Yeah.
But that's about
it. Do you think really that Hoskins is any better hitter than Pat Burrell?
That's funny you say that, because Andrew has literally given me side-by-side stats of Reese Hoskins and Pat Burrell.
They're the same player, and Pat Burrell actually has better numbers right now.
Reese Hoskins is not what we all thought he was.
Reese Hoskins,
and I really hope he comes out of that.
Maybe it changes with Charlie Manuel. Great show.
Yeah,
thanks
for
sticking around. I appreciate it. I'll be back tomorrow with Jason Martinez.
I'll be back on at 5 a.m.
Mike Miss is up next. Our handoff at 2 o'clock is brought to you by Philadelphia Hand and Shoulder Center. Specialized care for all hand, wrist, arm, elbow, and shoulder injuries and conditions. For more information, visit hand2shouldercenter.com. Tyler Zuli, great job producing the show today. Mike Missinelli is next right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.